Ladies and gentlemen, from the bottom of your heart, please clap for these children again. Please clap for them. Clap for them. And children, I want you to clap for yourselves. I was very instrumental in Sunday school, so I'm going to sing a song for them and for us, and we can all join. Teacher, if you can let them stand up, they will see the action, then they will know. Some of them speak English, some of them understand English, so they will understand. Give me that same key you are playing the song, Messiah is the King of Kings. The song is titled, Read Your Bible, Pray Every Day If You Want to Grow. We have this action that we used to do. Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. Some of us know it, okay? Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. If you want to grow, if you want to grow, read your Bible, pray every day if you want to.
What's the other part? Forget your Bible, forget to pray.
Forget your Bible. Forget your Bible, and you shrink.
Can we do that? Can you shrink?
And you shrink.
Let's go.
And you shrink.
Forget your Bible.
Forget to pray. And you shrink.
Oh, let's clap for them. Thank you. Thank you very much. And with that, let's go into God in prayer. Lord, we know we have to read our Bibles. We have to pray every day, because prayer is the key to life. Lord, I want to commit these children in your hand. We've all been there before, and we know children are a heritage of the Lord. Lord, you loved children. And at this moment, we pray for them that you may nurture them in the admiration of your love and your grace. Be with their parents. Be with their guardians. Be with the teachers who are tutoring them every single day, so that they may grow up in the name of the Lord, so that when they are old, they will never depart from it. Lord, I'm about to deliver your word this morning. Lord, more of you and less of me. Let your Holy Spirit imbibe in my heart, so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts may be acceptable to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If we have our Bibles, let's open to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 18, and I'll give you indulgence that we all stand together, we can reverence the reading of God's holy word. Matthew chapter 18, beginning to read from verse 1 onto verse 5. If you are there, say amen. Matthew, the gospel according to Matthew. I'm reading from the King James Version. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and sent him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. I want us to hang out in verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of God. Let's play a picture this morning and look at each other and say, neighbor. Just say it. Neighbor. Oh neighbor, be humble. You may be seated in the presence of God.
Now, in the concept of Children's Sunday, I want you to ask you a question. How many of you here remember your very, very first day at school? How many of you remember the very first day you went to school? Yes, me, I remember. I want to ask another question. How many of you remember how you started making friends during your very first day in school? I don't know. Can't know. If you pull these children apart and put them and observe them, you will notice that they've already have their conclave together. They've already known who are their friends, and they already know who they don't like. You will already see the fighting among this group versus this group. How does that faction begin? You don't know. We can't tell. And that grows up in us until we become adults to know that this is my friend and this is not my friend. There are some people we met during our very first day in school, and up till this moment, we are still friends. Does anybody, you remember? You know, we all have this one particular friend that we met in first day at school, and up till this moment, we are friends. And we grow up in that nurture, and we grow up in that sense to see that every day, even when we were little kids, we still have our rivalries. And this is what the Bible tells us in the story of Matthew 18. That the disciples, Jesus chose the disciples, and amongst themselves, they already started fighting. Who is the greatest? The scriptures, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, gives the same story, what happened that led to this thing. And I will give you just the cliff note version, the shortened version. They were on their way to a city called Capernaum. And then they started arguing amongst themselves. Who is the greatest among us? And Jesus ignored them. They were arguing bitterly. They argued to a point. The argument had got so deep that it even involved their parents. Remember the story of the mother of James and John. She came to Jesus and said to Jesus, I want one of my sons to sit on your right and the other one to sit on your left. And Jesus' answer to her was, that's not for me to give. There is always this friction and this faction that we always try to be who is the greatest, who we want. We are fighting for position. And it was the same amongst the disciples. So Jesus ignored them. And when they got to Capernaum, they went into the house. And Jesus asked them the question like this. What was that all about? He didn't get involved in their argument when they were going. But once they reached in the house, he asked them the question. What was that argument about? And they were all so embarrassed, nobody said a word. And then Jesus looked at a mother who had some kids and called one of the children. I'm sure Jesus did that language that every child knows. When we do a child like this, and the child came running into Jesus. Luke's account says, Jesus took the child in his arms, placed him on his lap, right in the midst of the disciples, and gave them a lesson that they will never, ever forget. He said, all of you fighting for position, all of you here fighting for power, all of you here fighting for who is the greatest. But I tell you one thing, unless you all become as this little child, you will never inherit the kingdom of God. Unless you all become as humble as this little child, you will never inherit the kingdom of God. Now, you may think that that is a little bit irrelevant in the sense that he mentioned a child. But that was very, very humiliating. You know why? Because in those days, children were not amongst, the children didn't have rights. Matter of fact, children's rights and slaves' rights were almost equal. They had the father, the mother was out of the circle, the children were out of the circle. So it was so humiliating to the disciples that Jesus had to tell them that unless they become like this child, whom they know, children don't have any rights. And to tell you how humiliating that is, just go to the next chapter, in chapter 19. After Jesus had humiliated them, then Jesus was standing there and the mother started bringing the children and the disciples were like, hey, out. They were so embarrassed, they didn't want to get through that lesson again of Jesus telling them to be as a little child. And they drove the children away and Jesus did that thing that we all know in Sunday school. Those words you always know is, suffer the little children to come unto me. We all know that scripture. Suffer the little children to come unto me. In those days, it was not like now. We all know what I always call old school parenting. It's not like now when we are adults are discussing and children can come in between and interrupt their parents. Gone are the days, they were always called visual communication. When parents are discussing and a child comes there, they only give you one look. One look alone. One look alone tells you, this is not your circle. I remember when we were growing up, my mother had big eyes. You can tell by my own eyes. And when we want to be truant, and when we want to be disobedient, she has that look that she gives you. And the moment you see that look, you start crying because you know what's coming up next. So these were opportunities that these children have now that we didn't have in the past. But yet, Jesus was in that position where he looked at them and said, unless we become as humble as this little child. He gave them a couple of lessons, but for this scripture, we're only going to concentrate on one aspect that we Jesus, the first one he said, which is in verse 4. He said unto them, verily I say unto you, except all of you are converted and become as little children, all of you shall not enter the kingdom of God. Now, media team, please put up the amplified version. Let's read it together. The amplified version, he said unto you. We see, let's read it together. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, unless you what? Let's say that word, unless you. And what is the repentance? That is, change your inner self, your old way of thinking, live, change lives, and what? Become like little children. What is the attribute of the little children? Trusting, humble, and you will never enter the kingdom of God. Let's clap for the word of God. Those are the attributes of a child that is forgiving, that is humble, that is repentant. That is everything that the child has. A child, you can beat a child today, and tomorrow he or she has even forgotten that you have beaten him. But hey, slap an adult today. The rest, they say, is history. Now, so what does it mean that Jesus said we have to be humble? What is humble? What is humility? Now, I'm going to open the forum because that's what we've been doing the last few days, that we interact. So today is not one of those fire sermons because anybody who knows that you can't bring fire where there are children. So you have to keep children away from fire. So what does this mean to be humble? What does this mean? Let's have one or two people. Just give them the mic. Anybody? What does this mean to be humble? What does this mean for you to say the word humility? What does this mean? Anybody? Anybody? Yeah, please don't be shy. Don't be shy. There's one word I'm looking for when they say somebody is humble. Somebody has humility. There's one word. For those of us who are married, we know that word, especially ladies. They always tell them what to do with their husbands. Say, to submit. To submit. That's what the humility word means. To submit. Any other thing that comes all over that, those, when you look the dictionary, that's that one word. Submit. When I was a kid, my all-time favorite adventure is the Indiana Jones franchise. You remember Indiana Jones? Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Skull. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Thank you, brother. The Last Crusade is my favorite because it has one of my favorite stars, the late Sean Connery. And then they were in search of this adventure to go and look for the Holy Grail. The Holy Grail is the cup that Jesus used during the Last Supper. And they believed that if you have this cup and you drink from it, you will have eternal life. So all the archaeologists were fighting to know where that cup is, and they found the place. But to enter the temple, you have to go through three challenges. One of them is saying, only the penitent will pass. Number two, it says, only the man that walks in the footsteps of God shall proceed. And the third one, it says, only the man that leaps in the lion's heart and has the courage will only proceed. The third one was about faith. The second one was about discernment of knowing God. And the third one, penitent man, which is relevant to our sermon. He said, only the penitent man will pass. Only the penitent man will pass. Who is a penitent man? A penitent man is a man who is forgiving. A penitent man is a man who is remorseful. A penitent man is one who is selfless. A penitent man is a man who is humble. And in the presence of God, when you are humble, you kneel. And the moment he knelt down, then the blade came. And he looked around, and that was the secret to the passage, that a penitent man kneels in the presence of God. A penitent man is a man who is selfless. And he looked around, he saw all those wannabes who came with swords. They think that there was an enemy there, and they all got beheaded because they did not understand the word humility. That when you're in the presence of God, you have to set everything apart. And that's what God does when he wants to walk in us, when he wants to move in us, when he wants to apply himself in us. We have to submit to the will of God. The hymn says, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Not every hour I need thee. Because realize that if you only a man who is humble to submit himself can see the kingdom of God. There's another song I learned in Sunday school. We said, humble yourself before the Lord. He will lift you up. We don't have time. I won't sing that now. But it says, only that man who can kneel in the presence of God to submit to the will of God. Only when you submit to the will of God that you'll be able to see greatness in the kingdom of God. So my question to you is, what are the obstacles of submission? What are the obstacles of submission? Power, fame, pride, position, and submission and those things, they're at loggerheads. They always fight each other. Because you and I know that some of us, once we have little authority, once we have little power, once we have little position, I call it little because in the presence of God, he gave it to you. That little position, what happens? We become powerful. Now we think that, yeah, we've made it. Now we think that we've made it. And that's when the scripture, it goes like that, that once you actually think that you did it all by yourself, what does God do? He takes a step back because he is not in competition with anybody. He's not in competition with anything. So we have to realize that if we want to see the goodness of God, if we want to see the goodness, we have to learn how to submit to God's will. And it's not only, the saddest thing is, it's not only in social circles, it's not only in political circles, but I'm sorry, even in the house of God, we have pastors, we have preachers, we have deacons, we have bishops, we have reverends, we have priests who actually promote themselves as kings and queens. I went to one place where, I won't call where, but I saw the pastor even had bodyguards. The pastor had bodyguards. It was raining and somebody is there to hold the umbrella. And somebody carrying his briefcase, and all he was doing is putting hand in his pocket and walking like he's the president of the country. This is a pastor who's supposed to be humble, who's supposed to bring himself down. And you go into some churches, you can't even feel the presence of God. All you feel is the power of God. All you feel is the presence of the pastor. I'm not saying you should not celebrate your pastor. I'm not saying you should not bless them. I'm not saying you shouldn't put them. But don't put the pastors in a particular place where they will feel that they are likened to God. Don't elevate your pastor to a particular place where he will become pompous, where he become unforgiving, where he will become so powerful and he start doing things in contrary to the scripture. But my challenge to you this morning, that every morning when you go down on your knees, pray for your pastor, pray for your priest, pray for your deacons, pray for your bishops, so that they will become humble to able to lead the flock. Pray for your pastors, pray for your deacons, and pray for your priests, because we know all the challenges that come with people surrounding them. There's some saying that some of wives, they even obey their pastors more than their husbands.
Sorry,
but I have to say it. They even obey their pastors more than their husbands. And the scripture tells us that wives have to submit. Husbands, you have to love your wives. And this is what Jesus is trying to instill in them. Unless you have that humble spirit in you, you will never inherit the kingdom of God. Amen? I always look at the story of Joseph. Joseph is one somebody who learned humility in a hard way. But it was good for Joseph because there are some blessings that you pray for. If you are not prepared to handle those blessings will handle you. If you are not prepared to receive those blessings will consume you. The very thing that you pray to God for is the very thing that will consume. That's why some of us are not even, don't have what we want. Because God looks in the inner self and know that if I give that brother, if I give that sister what he or she wants, that aspect of humility goes out of the window. I don't know who this is for this morning, but I pray you Christian friends that you have to live in this life of humility. There is one story that goes like this. A missionary went to a school. This school had kids. The kids were very unruly. They were indisciplined. The missionary went and sat in the window and watching the teacher whilst the teacher is teaching the kids. While she's trying to teach the kids, they were pulling her dress this way. Some were even taking things and throwing at their companions. Some were fighting. But yet the teacher had this smile on her face. And she keeps looking and trying her best as possible to teach the kids. After the session, the missionary called the teacher and said, amidst all these things that these children were doing, why were you so happy? And the teacher looked at the missionary and says, when I see these children, when I look at them, I don't see them. All I see is Jesus in them. And as my Father in heaven, when he looks at me, he looks at me through the eyes of Jesus. So also I look at them through Jesus' eyes. So whatever they do, I don't feel it. All I see is Jesus. And this is what the scripture tells us in the last verse. That whoever receives these children in my name, in the name of Jesus, receives me. Whoever receives these children receives me. So the part that we are, that we have to love these children. Because whenever we take up a child to love that children, you are loving Jesus. And if you're loving Jesus, you are loving the Father. Because no man goes to the Father except through Jesus. Amen? Let me close with this hymn. But I said, can you help me? We know this hymn that we sing. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Can we sing that song?
Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he.
Can we stand up and sing that song, please? Yes, Jesus loves me.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Let's sing it one more time prayerfully. Oh,
Jesus, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Do me a favor. Just stretch forth your hands towards this child and lift up a prayer for them. Stretch forth your hands towards the kids, the children, and lift up a prayer for them that they may love Jesus, that they may know Jesus, that they may know that He is the author and finisher of their faith, that they may grow in the admonition of God's love, that they know that they are nothing, that their parents will teach them that everything has to start with God, that they may grow in that love to be loving, to be obedient to their parents, to be obedient to their teachers, to be obedient to their seniors, to be obedient to their elders. And God would impart wisdom so that they may learn and be retentive to produce results, so that they be kings and queens and presidents and governors of their nation. Pray for their parents. Pray for their providers. Pray in everything so that they will not leave them or forsake them. And for us as adults, we look after them and we've made that commitment that we are going to take them and nurture them so that they will live to fulfill their potential. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Amen. 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 God bless you.